I know the governor had his typical post-legislative session press conference with all the media, and he touted a lot of success stories out of the short session that we had for 2026. I still have some opinions on things that did and did not pass this session, but no one needs my opinion. I would like to go to some of the experts over the next few days, really few weeks, kind of dissecting what did and did not make it to the finish line this session. And let's start with business. We've got Chris Davis here, who's the vice president of public policy at CBIA. And as many of you know, Chris has been on our show many times. CBIA's mission is to boost Connecticut's economic competitiveness and growth while also providing opportunities for all residents across the state. So, Chris, thank you for being here to do kind of some post-legislative session chat. How are you?
Great to be with you, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Always. I guess I can kind of ask a blanketed statement, which is, how do we feel we did this session when it comes to business growth, opportunity, and better addressing it in the state? It's quite a hefty question.
How do I explain that one, right? But, you know, back in February, which feels like a lifetime ago now, coming off of the end of the legislative session earlier this week, back then, you know, lawmakers really put an emphasis on affordability. We thought this session was going to be one where that was their laser focus, that they were going to try to make Connecticut more affordable for families and for employers. And unfortunately, despite some positive wins there, it really did not address some of the major cost drivers for Connecticut's families and businesses, like healthcare costs and energy costs. So, you know, we would sum it up as saying that, you know, we took one step forward in many respects and then three steps back in many of the major policy areas that the legislature attempted to address this year.
Yeah, we sort of did. I've been consistently, Chris, saying that we put a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery. So we're happy in the short term, right? So a bunch of money got put out there for municipality aid, for education aid. And in the short term, that's great. Honestly, I thought the investment that they put into some of these things, it's great, because we knew property taxes were high because of revals. We knew that health insurance, that became a huge disaster by the end of last year when we realized that we were not going to see, for example, we were not going to see big changes at the federal level. What were we going to do to kind of expand the marketplace? It didn't end up happening really at all. I believe we didn't see, for example, the association plans that once again failed to pass, I think for a third or fourth session in a row. We also saw there was a type of public option at the state level that I don't believe went forward either. We didn't expand the marketplace at all for healthcare, essentially. I mean, we did kind of these, you know, hey, we've got the money right now, let's do something with it. But nothing sustainable, in my opinion.
Correct. And, you know, there was a small change that should help some small businesses be able to offer ICRA programs, which are small savings accounts that they can put money in for their small employees. And under the budget, they'll be able to get a $1,000 tax credit for doing that. So that, you know, a small incremental step forward. But again, you know, with the rising cost of healthcare, you know, 10 to 15 to, in some instances, 20% increases that families and employers are facing, you know, that's only a small improvement. And instead, we had the opportunity to pass real meaningful change with the association health plans, as you mentioned. And unfortunately, they punted it down the road again. So we anticipate healthcare to be a major issue next year with in the governor's Connecticut option that he's talking about. There's a continued push for, you know, a true public option where the government would run healthcare here in Connecticut. So we anticipate that healthcare is going to be a major, major issue. But as you mentioned as well, you know, the amount of spending that's happening in this new budget, going to municipal aid, going to child care, which is a great thing to try to get people moving. But our concern at CBIA is how we did it. And we're returning to some of the old tricks of the trade of the legislature from 10 years ago, where we have diversions, where we have gimmicks used that you pay a little bit now to save a little bit later and move money off of budget in substantial amounts so that they can spend more now. Those are all the things that are going to lead to potential tax increases in the future, already built-in structural deficits in the future that they're going to have to come up with ways to address in the very short term coming next year. So these are all things that give us a lot of concern about, you know, where we're heading as a state in our economy when we have stagnant job growth. We haven't really seen any major movement in unemployment. In fact, it's actually gone up in the last couple of months. And then we have a labor force, people who are looking for work here in Connecticut. We're down 21,000 people in the last year. And that's an incredible struggle for employers when we're trying to fill 85,000 job openings across the state. So we need to have a state government that is balancing their books in an appropriate way so that businesses can have that stability to make those investments and be able to hire those people. And unfortunately, the budget that was passed really goes back to the way things were about 10 years ago.
It's very rob Peter to pay Paul. That's sort of what it reminds me of.
It's a scenario where, you know, unfortunately, it seems like they put electoral politics ahead of good policy in many instances, whether it be labor policies where they pass some very positive things on workforce development, things the CBIA was pushing for, but then pushed several new mandates on businesses and really took a real attack on warehouses here in the state and one of the fastest growing parts of our GDP. And now, you know, with the first in the nation requirements that they put in on warehouses, now we're going to see that kind of growth completely come to a stop, most likely. You know, those are the things that we take one step forward and then took three steps back this last legislative session.
Chris Davis is here, Vice President of Public Policy for CBIA, and we're talking about the legislative session, what we did and did not do successfully when it comes to businesses. And you just mentioned before the break, Chris, something really important. And I know the CEO and president of CBIA also mentioned this in a recent press release, the Emergency Warehouse Workers Protection Act. This was something that your president and CEO called an economic self-sabotage move. Why?
Well, it's one of the bills that they did right away in the beginning of session. They had an emergency declaration made. It was included in an omnibus bill to address some of the federal cuts that were happening back in January. And what the bill does is puts on a number of different restrictions and mandates on our logistics and warehousing industry here in the state about, you know, quota systems, if you will, about individuals, you know, how you can track how people work within these warehouses. But what made us unique here in Connecticut and made us some of the first in the country to do this is in most other states, there's a handful of other states that have attempted to do something similar. They go through their Department of Labor if there's an issue. Well, here in Connecticut, the individual employee now is going to be able to sue or team up with a bunch of their coworkers and be able to sue their employer if they don't like the metrics that they're being used against them. And then also here in Connecticut, we have first in the nation elimination of the ability to use peer-to-peer comparison. So you would no longer be able to, you know, compare employees with each other and see what their productivity levels are in these warehouses. Now, you're restricted from being able to do that, which is how a lot of these larger logistic companies actually measure things. So, you know, when companies are looking at New England and they're looking at the Northeast region, and Connecticut is such a huge central hub, we're halfway between Boston, New York, we have great airports, we have access to rail and roads. We've really become a logistics hub. The Department of Labor has said that we are the fastest growing sector in our economy was logistics. And then we pass a bill like this, and it sends the complete opposite message to the business community. And we have heard from member companies that this is going to significantly scale back or stop their investments here in Connecticut, because now they can do those projects in Massachusetts or Rhode Island or New York and not have to deal with these types of threats of lawsuits and the inability to use the systems that they have in place literally everywhere else in the world for some of these companies. So, you know, this is just another classic example of Connecticut's policymakers making, you know, a really political decision rather than adopting good policy that will help grow our economy.
Was this a separate piece of legislation than the one, I want to say, the comptroller put forward in February, but that one was an effort to combat wage theft at the workplace? That's a separate bill, right? That's not the warehouse. Was the warehouse?
Correct. That's a separate bill. Yeah.
Okay. The warehouse thing, that wasn't that part of the 121 page bill, the omnibus bill that passed like early in the session? Wasn't that part of it?
Yes, it was. And that's the issue that came up, is that all of these companies, whether they're small warehousing companies to the largest ones in the world, had no input, no insight into what was going to be in that bill. It came out. Changes were made. Now, there were previous versions of the bill attempted in previous sessions, didn't go far enough, didn't have support. But by putting this in this kind of must-pass emergency package, they were able to do it and then add in these additional restrictions that really put us as an outlier across the country without any kind of public input, whether that be from the employees themselves saying, yes, we want this, or from the businesses that now have to comply with it saying, this is impossible, this is going to cost us jobs, this is going to cost us to redirect investment outside of Connecticut. So it's really that good governance issue that has come up time and time again this year, whether it be the wage theft issue that you just talked about being thrown into a huge omnibus bill that got passed at the end of session with all the labor mandates that will really slow economic growth, or that one in the very beginning of session, like the warehouse workers bill being thrown in and passed without a ton of input from the general public. So, you know, Connecticut really needs to take a look in the mirror, if you will, and say, do we want to have good governance here where the ability for the public to be able to weigh in and have bills passed that stand up on their own on the merits of their policy rather than being crammed in together and kind of forced on the legislators to vote yes or no on a group of good bills and then these very harmful bills for the economy.
That essentially didn't get updated public hearings or any kind of input. I mean, so I harped on that 121-page bill for the rest of session. I think I have referenced that bill I don't know how many times because it is horrible government. Horrible, horrible, horrible. We should not be standing for that. It's awful. And the fact that it happened not once but twice during this session, and some people don't even realize that, is just, it baffles me. So we'll keep kind of talking about that. I do, while I have you here, Chris, want to also talk about what came out this week, which was a recent report from the Department of Labor, again, talking about how many jobs were added in the past month, how our unemployment rate is. And like I said, it's sort of a tale of two cities because it is really, to me, when I'm reading it, it's like, oh, you know, we are looking great. We added an estimated 100 jobs in March, and we're adding more jobs, healthcare, manufacturing, construction, all doing really well. The unemployment rate, it did go up a little bit, but let me tell you, the benefits are consistent and we're really not seeing any increases in trust fund payouts. So it sounds all great. However, when I look at what your CEO and president is saying, that's not the case, actually. If I can find the quote that he said this week, I can't find it quick enough, and I know that we have, that time is of the essence. But I mean, he basically said the opposite, that this is not something we should be celebrating. We are not looking as great as Connecticut wants us to think.
Yeah, I think his quote was, you know, we're not just treading water, we're starting to fall behind.
There it is. That's exactly it. We're not just treading water, we're falling behind. There it is. You knew, Chris. I should have just asked you what he said. But I think that's really telling. But that is a tale of two cities. That is the very opposite from what the state said. Totally opposite.
Yeah, and I think it's because we're looking at the real data here and looking at it not just in a lens of what happened before, but we're looking at it as where we're heading in the future. And that's what we do here at CBIA, is look for those solutions for future challenges. And right now, job growth is stagnant. In fact, it's a little bit down. You know, you have unemployment rate at 4.8% now, which is actually one of the worst in the country. And you have a labor force that shrunk by over 20,000 people in the last year. And that's a huge challenge because businesses are doing their part. You know, we have 85,000 job openings now across the state. That ticked up about 10,000 over the last month. Businesses are looking to grow. They're looking to hire. You know, we do have that productivity gains of GDP growth that we've had over the last few quarters. But their challenge is finding individuals to fill those jobs because of the high cost of living here in Connecticut that we just talked about previously. And you have employers doing their part. They're paying high wages to try to attract those individuals. In fact, wage growth is up by over a whole percent over inflation here in Connecticut. You know, we're well ahead of inflation as far as job growth goes from employers. So employers are saying, we need to hire people. We want people here. And then policymakers are then saying, well, let's pass policies that then stifle economic growth and make it a real challenge. And again, that one step forward, three steps back scenario, we passed an R&D tax credit for small businesses, the opportunity to grow those small manufacturers here in the state, finally get that through the legislature this year. But then we passed policies that then pull back on some of the incentives for making those investments and growing manufacturing facilities here in Connecticut when they change that tax policy in the budget. So it's this mixed bag and these steps forward and then, well, we're falling back, that are really going to be a challenge to fill those jobs across the state.
Well, Chris Davis, I'm sure we are going to have more conversations with entities like you guys at CBIA and many others as we continue to dissect what did and did not happen during this legislative session. Thank you so much for your time today, though. We really appreciate it.